We had Rosh Hashanah here for Shabbos, as I just mentioned to you, and we had a question and answer session on Friday night. So whenever you're dealing with these question and answer sessions, it's always good. What we try to do is collect the questions in advance, A, so that we can control what the questions are, and B, so that Rav Schachter could look at them a little bit in advance so that he could prepare to answer them. As it is, he looked at them maybe a few minutes in advance, but it was at least better than no preparation. So one of the questions someone submitted that I did not include in the question and answer session with Rav Schachter was when it's appropriate to correct the Baal Koreh, when it's not appropriate to correct the Baal Koreh, what the responsibilities of the Baal Koreh are vis-a-vis Diktuk, in terms of how good he has to be in terms of Diktuk. The reason I did not allow the question to be asked was because I thought if you have a Gadol B'Yisrael here, you shouldn't ask every little halachic question that you have. You should try to stick to bigger picture kind of things. Not that every kutzo shliyim of halacha isn't important. It is important, but that's why we have local Orthodox rabbis. The big gedolim, I think when you have the opportunity, you try to get more big picture kind of issues. That's one thing. The other reason was that I was afraid that people would take it as an attempted slight, or you know, at our Bali Kriya or whatever. So I just thought it would be much better to discuss it in the context of a shir. So we'll discuss when you correct the Baal Koreh, when you don't correct the Baal Koreh. Baal Koreh just walked in, so perfect. Okay, so there is a. There is a machlokas rishonim. The Torah in Arachayim in Simen Kuf Mem Beis, and this whole sugya is all Simen Kuf Mem Beis. Torah writes, "Kasav balamani gimta akori alachazin hamakroso tov shelo lahagia lav al shigigosav berabim shelo lahalbin panav da'af al pisha ta'aba yatsi yidei kriya." Wow, pretty strong. He says there is an avera called malbin panech aver berabim. You're not allowed to embarrass somebody publicly. Every time you correct the Baal Koreh, you are running the risk of violating that isra of being malbim pnei chaver barabim. And therefore, says the Manik, you are never to correct the Baal Koreh. That's an avera to correct the Baal Koreh. It is not a mitzvah. What about the fact that I need to be yotzei my mitzvah of kriyas hatorah? What if I see the guy is about to take a bite out of my esrog? Should I also not correct him because I don't want to embarrass him that he's eating my esrog? What do you mean? I need that mitzvah. That's going to be my mitzvah. He's about to take my tefillin and erase some of the letters or something. I need the mitzvah. He's not allowed to. How can I have him take away, rob me of the mitzvah? So the manik says, nah, don't worry. You're yotzei kriyas hatorah even if mistakes are made. Disa b'medrash, as the medrash says, and listen, look at the mistake the medrash gives an example of. She'im kara la'aharon, haron, if instead of saying aharon, one says haron, yatsa anyway. So what kind of mistake could it be already that you're going to, I read it as haron, one could have read it as haron. Right? Unclear what it would, but the achronim say that it clearly he must mean haron. That where it's clear that he wanted to say Aaron. We'll see if that's necessarily the case. But the way the Manik quotes the Medrash, it's an obvious, blatant error. And nevertheless, you don't have to correct. Not only do you not have to correct, you're not allowed to correct. I heard from Rav Yonasan Sachs once where he said that it can't be that there's never a time to correct. That even the Manik must admit that if there's a situation, let's say, where a person says something that's Mechari for Megadev, where a person says, let's say, the example, instead of saying Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, he switches the Dalit for a Resh. He says Hashem Acher, so then even the Manik would agree that you have to correct. Because if he says something like that, that's Mamish Api courses, so then you would have to correct. I don't know where Rabbi Sachs saw that. I never saw that in print. I had the zechus of having Rav Schechter read at my table this past Shabbos. I asked him if he ever saw such a Shita. He says no, so he doesn't recall ever seeing such a shita, which means he never saw such a shita. And I don't know where maybe Rabbi Sachs just got a misvara. It makes sense that how can you allow that to go off in shul? Granted, I'm yotzei the mitzvah, but I have a responsibility if someone is going and spewing up epikorsis in public. I have to try to stop that. Okay, but be that as it may, Manik says mistakes are made, don't correct them. Var Rambam zal kasav, but the Rambam writes, says the Torah. That if the Baal Koreh makes a mistake, even in the precision of a single letter, os is a letter, not a word, a single letter, in the precise pronouncement of a single letter, you make him go back until he reads it precisely, until he reads it properly. That's Nishita Sarambam. So these are the two Shitas. Now, The raya that the Balamanik has is that Medrash, Karla Aaron Haron. Now Tosos Mesechs Avodah Zarah mentions, I said it was Achronim Rishonim already, Tosos Mesechs Avodah Zarah says that when we say Karla Aaron Haron, it has to be Haron, not Haran. Tosos says it has to be that we're talking about with a patach, not with a kamatz or anything else. Fine. The kasha that the Beis Yosef asks on the Shita of the Manhig is that there is a rush, a statement of the rush, where the rush says that the tzibur is not yotze with the kriya of habilti yodeya, of someone who doesn't know what he's doing. So when Balkari gets up and he doesn't know how to be a Balkari, the tzibur is not yotze. But according to the manhig, no matter how many mistakes he makes, no matter what mistakes he makes, you don't have to correct him because he's yotze anyway. So you could say, well, the manhig disagrees with the rush, just like the manhig obviously disagrees with the Rambam. But it seems that the rush is widely accepted. So the Beis Yosef, instead of saying that it's a machlokas, gives two answers. If you look at Beis Yosef in source number two, in the first paragraph, at the end of the first paragraph, he writes, answer number one, v'yishlomar, ki zeh b'dieved v'divrei harush l'chadchila. That the rush is saying, you shouldn't have a balkari who doesn't know what he's doing, that's l'chadchila. You should try to appoint a balkari who knows how to read Hebrew. If he doesn't know how to read the words, so don't ask that guy to be your balkari. But b'di'evid, you're for sure yotze, the manik would say. That no matter how many mistakes he makes, you're yotze. That's one answer. Od yesh lomar, ki zeh shekasa bala manik hu b'ta'us she'ein bo shinoi inyin v'divrei harash b'taybim she'ein perush ha'pasuk mamish. That the bala manik is saying, you don't have to correct, that's when he makes a mistake that doesn't really change anything. It doesn't change the meaning of the words. But if he makes a mistake that changes the meaning of the words, then you do have to correct. So now what these two shitos actually turn into three. Right, we thought we just had the Manik and the Rambam, but now we have two versions of the Manik, depending which answer the Beis Yosef you hold like. Right, so we have the Rambam says smallest mistake you got to correct. We have the Bala Manik according to the first answer of the Beis Yosef, which says you correct no mistakes, every mistake you can let it go. That's the Pashup Shana of the Bala Manik. And then you have the second answer of the Beis Yosef, which understands that the Bala Manik is more nuanced. You only correct mistakes that change the meaning of the word. Now, is that what the Bala Manik meant? That really, Bala Manik was saying that you can have anybody read and you're never allowed to correct the guy because Mal B'nei Chavero. Oh, when I said never allowed to correct him, I really only meant you're never allowed to correct things that don't change the meaning of the word? Is that the Pasha Pshat of the Bala Manik? So the Bach certainly doesn't think so. If you look at the Bach in source number three, toward the end of source number three, actually, or at least toward the middle, he writes, Hava Beis Yosef B'Shem Mari Ibn Chabib Tireitz V'Amar Deval Amadik Nami Sover Kar Rosh L'Chadchil Tzalch Lach Tzarach Misha Baka B'Kriya V'Diyab Yatsa Kedis V'Medrash I Nami Ki Zer Shekos Deval Amadik Hu B'Tol Shem Bo Shino Yinyin V'Diver Arash B'Taim M'Shem Perish HaPazuk Mamish Ad Kal Nashon He quotes the Beis Yosef V'Hai Shinu Yolesa. But the second answer of the Beis Yosef, that there's a difference between mistakes that change the meaning and mistakes that don't change the meaning, incorrect. The Bala Manik vaday bekalta uska amar sheyatza. Bala Manik says you yatze no matter what mistake. How do I know that? Midakasa bestam v'lo chilek. Because Bala Manik just says if someone makes a mistake, don't correct him. He never says, yeah. Go ahead.
He writes, Apal pisha tovo yatze dekri. The Apal pisha tovo yatze dekri. The Apal P is a little funny of an introduction, but he puts in an extra clause that it specifically limits to a place where you're still yotze despite the mistake.
You're making an assumption that you're not yotze when the mistake changes the meaning. The Bala Manik might be saying, meaning the Pasha reading of the Bala Manik and the way the Bach reads it is, the Apal P is the reason.
Right, no, the Apal P doesn't work perfectly, but the example he gives is a very benign example.
Ah, so that's where your real argument is, the example. Meaning, right, doesn't really change. You know who Haron is, right? That's Aaron. That's obviously a mispronunciation of Aaron, right? Haron HaKohen is Aaron HaKohen. You probably wouldn't even catch it if Balkari read it quickly enough. So that's where the two shitos are being medayik in the Bala Manik, exactly those two points. On the one hand, the Bala Manik never makes a chilek. He just says, if you make a mistake, don't correct the guy because you yotze anyway. But then he goes and he gives an example. He says, yeah, you know what kind of mistake? Instead of Aharon, it's Haron. So the first half of the sentence sounds like, doesn't matter what kind of mistake it is, yotze. Second half of the sentence gives a kind of mistake that doesn't really matter so much. Sounds like if it were a bigger mistake, it would matter a lot. Now, you could argue, well, the example wasn't his own example. He says, De'isa b'medrash. is a medrash that gives that example. Maybe he would have chosen an example where instead of saying lo sirtzach, you say sirtzach. I don't know. You know, maybe he would have given a different example had he had his opportunity to give whatever example he wanted to give. But he was quoting a medrash as a raya that mistakes don't matter. That mistakes don't matter in Kriyas HaTorah. Now, just to be clear, mistakes do matter in the kashrus of a Sefer Torah. Pashtos. That's also Machlokas Rishonim. But Kriyas HaTorah and the kashrus of a Sefer Torah are not necessarily Talei Zebazeh. The Shitas Ramban in his Hakdama to Chumash, quoted by the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Taryag, which is the Mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, is that even missing a single letter passels the entire Sefer Torah. Even Chaseros V'Yeseros, Shitas Ramban. Even if you're missing a letter, that doesn't change anything. It would passel the entire Sefer Torah. Minchas Chinuch has a different mahalach. He thinks, no, only if it changes the meaning, it's going to passel the Sefer Torah. But a mistake that doesn't change the meaning won't passel the Sefer Torah. But that's about the kashrus of the Sefer Torah. Now we're talking about the Mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. So anyway, these are the two ways of understanding the Balamanik. The Tshuva Sedeshen, some Kuf Pei Aleph, in a Tshuva, which is here somewhere probably, I guess, I don't know, so we'll see it here. Tshuva Sedeshen writes, this must be quoted by the Beis Yosef, Tshuva Sedeshen writes, trust me, until we find it, Tshuva Sedeshen writes that by his rebellion, when people made minor mistakes in pronunciation, they were goer b'hem, they got upset at them, but they were never machsir. They never made them go back. So that's going to be something we have to talk about also. It doesn't mean they got upset at them. They, like, frowned at them. They, like, you know, humph. Like, what did they do? They didn't talk to them for a week? How exactly are you goer at somebody without being machsir them, without being machsir the Baal Koreh? So we'll have to discuss exactly what that means. But that's a support for the Baal Amanik, that mistakes, we're not going to correct the mistakes. The Rambam, like we said before, the Rambam, if you look at it in the original in source number 6, Ein akar b'tar Rashi lukas b'tar Ashiyach losam piat Tzibur, kar v'ta'a afilu b'diktuk osachas, mechzir no sa'ashi kran b'diktuk. A guy makes a mistake, even in the precision of one letter, you make him go back until he reads it right. That's it. That's what the Rambam says. What are the rayas to the Rambam? So there's Hagos Maimonios in Ozdalid on that Rambam. That goes by Mondios, and this, I believe, it's all quoted by the Beis Yosef. Yeah, it's all quoted by the Beis Yosef in source number 2. Brings a raya from the Yerushalmi, where the Yerushalmi says, "Minayim letargum dichsev yikru b'sefer b'taras elokim veyikru b'sefer zemikra mefurish zetargum v'shom sechel sheheimataimim v'yavidu zehamesores." The Gemara darshins, the Yerushalmi darshins, each word in the pasuk in Nehemiah to be referring to a different element of Kriyas HaTorah. That the Kriya, the Targum, the Taimim, the Mesores, V'amar Rabbi Yonah, Afakav Dit, Marayna Targum Akev, Ta'a Machzirinosa. If the Metarge makes a mistake, it's hard for us to relate to, we don't have it. If the Metarge makes a mistake, you're Machzirinosa. So it sounds like everything in that category of things that we derive from Nehemiah, the Targum, the Ta'amim, Ta'amim is Tra, any mistake, Machzirinosa. So Vakolshke the Diktok, the Alfinin Nami Mehaikra. So certainly Diktok Osios, just to pronounce things correctly. If even the Targum you're gonna be Makzirinoso, so for sure to pronounce the actual words of Torah correctly, it would seem you'd be Makzirinoso. That's Raya number 1 for the Shita Sarambam. Now, Luchora, that Raya would tell you that you have to correct on Trup also. That if he messes up a single Trup, Kriyas HaTorah in many shuls would take a very, very long time if you corrected every single Trup mistake. But that's what it would sound like. And that, in fact, I think is the Minhag Brisk. I think Reb Chaim was Makbid. He read the Rambam that way. Diktuk means even the trap. You have to correct on every trap mistake.
Well, aren't there words that the meaning of the word is actually changed?
There are certainly words in psukim that the meaning changes based on the trap. Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll get to that.
Mila
El Milara. Mila El Milara can
change. Refers to the Mila El Milara, not the actual, which note you did?
That's
where you get the change.
That's Pashupshat, definitely. Reb Chaim held that it's the Trup also. Gemara Nevin, I think, said the Trup is Halacha Moshe Misinai. The Trup was there for a long time. Probably it didn't have these names. Merchat, Tipcha, Munach, Esnachta, all those names probably didn't exist, Halacha Moshe Misinai. Even the shapes of the Trup probably didn't exist. But the actual concept of Trup existed Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So that's Raya number 1 for the Rambam. Raya number 2 for the Rambam, Vayter in the Beis Yosef in source number 2. Varav Rabbeinu Menoach, Hevi Rai Midamrin Perchelek. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Kala Omer Kala Torah Min Hashemayim Chutz Mitiktuk Echad Harei Zeh B'chal Dvar Hashem Vaza. Anyone who says that the entire Torah is from Shemayim, except for one little detail, one letter, one word, one little thing, he's making a mockery of the Shem Hashem. Is that a raya?
No, it's a statement.
What?
It's a statement.
So, but how does...
Shem Hashem doesn't mean it's completely for the
real. Right. Meaning, that's a raya in maybe the kashrus of a Sefer Torah, or maybe not even that. Maybe it's just a raya in what makes it not be kores. When I make a mistake, I'm not publicly, if the Baal Kori got up and he said, no, that's no good. I'm not doing low siritzach, I'm doing kain siritzach. So then, okay, Dvar Hashem Vaza, that would be bad. But if he just makes a mistake, he's reading and it's obviously an error. He's not saying it as a shita. He just obviously made an error. So does that necessarily mean that it's a psul in the kriya? It's not even a raya that it's psul in the cheftz of the Sefer Torah. That you can hear a little more, okay? That the cheftz of the Sefer Torah, if the Sefer Torah says siritzach instead of lo siritzach, so I understand that would be a psul. But it's hard to say that that's a raya that it's a psul in the kriya. So he tries to fix it up a little bit, and he writes, "V'kivan she'diktuk echad yeshlo shorish gadol, tzorach shlo yaniach hanad v'lo yanid hanach v'lo yirapa chazak v'lo yachzik rafe." That since each detail means so much, you're going to call it a mockery of the Shem Hashem when you mess up one detail. Meaning that's what the Gemara does say, that if you deny any detail, you're mocking Shem Hashem. So it stands to reason that when you're reading from the Torah and you mess up a detail, you did something very terrible. It's not just something that we can just let it go. You are as Rashef was sitting here on Shabbos at the Drasha, what did he say? He said that that part of the idea of those who want to misrepresent the Torah, change the Torah, is that they're changing Hashem. Is that the Torah is a representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It represents, it's the autobiography of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the description of Hashem. It's the mashal of a mashal, I think he said in the name of Chaim Voloshiner. It's a mashal of a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it's the closest we can get to understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you change something, you're changing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the religion. Judaism is a God-based religion. We're not, as the Reform would have you believe, a community-based religion where you don't have to believe in God. No, we're a God-based religion. You change a Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're not practicing the same religion. So it stands to reason that if you make a mistake, you're changing Hashem. Mela, that's bad. You can't allow that to go on. So that's the second raya for the Rambam. Vili nira lahavi raya, says Beis Yosef. I have a third raya, my own raya. Midigar sinim b'Yerushalmi de Megillah. The Yerushalmi Megillah says, Ein medaktikim b'ta'u yoseha. That we're not medakdek in the mistakes in the Megillah. Umefarish kigon ben Yehudim leYehudiyim. Right, leYehudim haysa'ora. Someone says leYehudiyim haysa'ora. No big deal. So what does that sound like? So I would have said, oh, mistakes don't matter. So this basically says, no, it shows you that in Megillah mistakes don't matter. If we weren't medakdek in mistakes in the Sefer Torah, it should have said the Sefer Torah. Mashma dafka ben Megillah hikilu of the Sefer Torah medakdekim. But in the Sefer Torah, absolutely we're medakdek. And he says, V'achach matzazi behedye. He says, I later found out that Yerushalmi says this explicitly. Ta'a ben teva l'teva machzir noso afilu ta'a ben im levi'im. You make a mistake even in a single letter in the word, absolutely you go back. It changes the whole thing. Those are the three rayas for the shita of the Rambam. So, Beis Yosef then quotes from a Kolbo, a very, very big chiddush, which he rejects and has rejected the halacha anyway, which is that we only correct mistakes by the person who made the bracha, not by the person who's reading. Meaning, if the Baal Kori makes a mistake, it's not a problem for the Baal Kori, it's a problem for the Ola, because he's the one that made the bracha. Which makes it sound like it's not a din in the Chiyuv HaTzibur of Kriyas HaTorah, it's a din in a bracha levatala. Now I'm making a bracha on this Cheftza Shel Torah, on the Sefer Torah that's in front of me, and the Kriya from that Sefer Torah, and therefore, if the Kriya from that Sefer Torah is problematic, then my bracha is problematic. It's a din in the bracha, but Kriya Sator B'tzibur as a mitzvah maybe could be fulfilled even if there is a mistake. Very hard chiluk to make, because what's the bracha on? It's a bracha on, it's not a birchas mitzvah necessarily, but it's a bracha on Kriya Sator at the very least. So that's a hard chiluk to make. The Beis Yosef rejects it. It's discussed by Achronim as well in the name of the Tshuvas Pesamim Rosh, which is of somewhat questionable origin. Who exactly wrote the Pesamim Rosh? For many years it was attributed to the Rosh until they discovered that it wasn't. Okay, but I don't want to get into that. How do we pass an halacha l'maisa? When do you correct the Balkari, when do you not? And what's going to emerge from the whole analysis is that at the very least you need to know what you're doing to correct the Balkari. Not only do you need to know what you're doing to be a Balkari, you need to know what you're doing to correct the Balkari. So, source number 7, Shulchan Aruch. Kar v'ta afilu b'diktukol sachas maksir noso. Shulchan Aruch is clear. As expected, he passes like the Rambam. You make a mistake, no matter how minor, even os achas maksir noso. You make the guy go back and do it right. Says Rama, v'chein din achazan akore. Same is true about the chazan akore. Probably means the Balkari, not just the Ola. That's only if it changes the meaning of the word. But if you make a mistake in the tra or in the vowelization of the word, so again, there's that word again. So we do something, but we don't make him go back and repeat it. So who's the Rama paskening like? So he's obviously paskening like the Manik. But we had two versions of the Manik. One version of the Manik is you never correct anything. The other version of the Manik is you only correct mistakes that change the meaning. He's obviously paskening like the more machmir version of the Manik. They correct things that change the meaning. So that's the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch. Now, Yalkut Yosef writes that you wouldn't that even Sfardim don't correct tra. That even that far they don't go. That they'll correct pronunciation, but they're not gonna correct tra. Now, you would expect if there are three shitos in halacha that they would match the three shitos brought in the Beis Yosef, the two understandings of the Manig and the Rambam. They don't. There are three shitos in halacha. We only saw two so far. The third shita doesn't match that most makel shita of the Baal Manig. That most makel shita of the Baal Manig is rejected. The idea that you don't correct, we reject that halacha. So far, we have the Beis Yosef, who's extremely machmir, like the Rambam, that you correct everything. The Rama, who's more of a middle ground, you correct only things that change the meaning. There is an additional shita. That's the Bir Halacha. If you look at the Bir Halacha, Dibra Maskel Ein Machzirin also, he quotes from the Bir Agra. Ubir Agra Mefakbek, it's source number 8. Afilu B'makom She'ena Inyin Mishtana. Sometimes, even if the letters, if the meaning doesn't change, Ko Mitzrim Mitzriyim Chodome. So he says, when the guy makes a mistake in pronunciation, that doesn't change the meaning of the letter, you would not make him go back. But these kinds of mistakes, like instead of Mitzrim, he says Mitzriim, which also doesn't change the meaning, you would make him go back. What did he do? What are these kinds of mistakes? Because these are mistakes where you added a letter into the way, into the Torah. Right? If you would have said it, instead of Mitzrim, you said Mitzrayim, well, that would change the meaning. But let's say instead of, I don't know, you had some mispronunciation that wouldn't change the meaning, but at least you kept the letters the way they are, so then you wouldn't make him go back. But if the letters are changed with the way the guy pronounces it, then you would make him go back. So says the Gra v'chein pasuk pri chadash, da'afilu b'makom aron kara haron, against the Medrash. That instead of saying Aaron, you say Haron, that you'd have to go back. So that's a third shita. Not quoted anywhere in Rishonim as far as we saw. We didn't see it anywhere. But the Gras saying Misvara, that must be the idea. It can't be that you're going to allow a letter to be missing from the Torah. What's he doing? Where did the Gras come up with that shita? We saw three shitas. And this is none of them. No? So where did the Gras come up with this? So we saw that there was what?
From the Torah, the script of the Torah.
From the script, meaning.
What's there?
No. Right. So we saw a Gemara that said a Gemara in Sanhedrin that was a raya for the Rambam. We thought it was a raya for the Rambam that the Beis Yosef quote is a raya for the Rambam that if you say that I believe in all of Torah except for diktuk echad os achas, that's different than what it says in the Torah. Then you're being mevazet var Hashem. So the Gra says, I can see that point, but I don't think you have to take it to the extreme to go like the Rambam. I think you could mispronounce things where you're not changing an os in the Torah. The osios in the Torah have to be perfect. Pronunciation doesn't have to be perfect. That's not an os in the Torah. So the Gra is getting this from that Gemara. He's trying to make a pshara that makes that Gemara work within the sheet of the Balamani. That's the chara of what the Gra is trying to do.
Do Ksiv or Kri play any role in any of this?
So,
because you have, I mean, you have what's written, and then the Kri is obviously.
So okay, he's obviously talking about cases that don't have a Kri and a Ksiv.
Okay.
If it did have a Kri and a Ksiv, that's a very interesting question. What if you read it the way it's a Ksiv and not the way that the that we're supposed to read it? So according to the Gra, if it didn't change the meaning, you should not correct him. Because the Gra is saying that you only correct because he changed letters in the Torah. So if you read it the way the letters are, he hasn't changed the letters in the Torah.
I don't know if he's so literal about it, because it doesn't have to be the letters in the Torah. It's also the Mesorah that goes with those letters. When you read it as the Kri instead of the Ksiv, it's as much the halakha motion we see in the Mesorah that you...
But the reason I'm being literal about it is because I think what the whole sheet of the Gra is based on that one Gemara. About
the reading of Gemara that only goes to the words as written, as opposed to the Mesorah that goes along, also Misinai, around how to read those words.
Yeah, because the Gra is saying even the pronunciation, the Nekudos are also Mesorah. Yes. The Balei Mesorah work out, that's what I'm saying. But the Gra will say, you mess up the Nekudos, you're okay.
Hmm?
The Gra says, if you mess up the Nekudos, you're okay, as long as you keep all the letters.
You change the letter, why?
Because you change a letter. I mean, he'll say, the Mesorah, the Tarshish Baal Peh comes along with it, the Mesorah, the Nekudos, the Trap, all that's Mesorah. If you mess that up, you don't have to be maxer him. But if you mess up a letter, that has a higher level of kedusha for whatever reason, and that if you mess up, you are maxer him. So that's why I think the Kri Ksiv, that's what I'm taking literally.
Are you talking about just adding versus just changing?
So what do you mean changing? Subtracting?
Replacing.
Okay.
Adding, subtracting.
Mistama replacing would be, if not just as bad, it would be worse, right? If you replace it, because then you don't even have exactly what it says in the Torah. What if you subtract, but you didn't really change the meaning? Take out a whole word from the Torah, but you didn't change the meaning. Ki ani echbadati eslev paro. So instead of saying ani echbadati, echbadati eslev paro. Anyone who speaks Hebrew knows echbadati means ani echbadati. So is that okay? So the Bir Alacha, in source number 9, pashut tedavka betalas beiza os. Okay, look, when the Ramaz makel about a mistake, it's if you made a mistake in a letter. Avulim chiser is a teva, but if you miss a whole word, afilu lo nishtana ha'inyin ali dezeh. So this anyone could correct. You don't have to be a bucky in whether it changes the meaning, doesn't change the meaning. No, even if it doesn't change anything, kigon ki ani echbadati wasn't my example. Ki ani echbadati v'kara ki echbadati lo yotzer. Then for sure you're not yotzer v'tzarich lachzer, and you have to go back. Lo niskar b'shum makom b'chiser teva she'echiluk b'nishtana ha'inyin olam. We don't find anywhere that if you're missing a word, that nishtana ha'inyan is going to matter. Fine. Now, what if you don't notice the mistake until much, much later in the Kriya? And someone says, wait a second, someone thorns on somebody, you know, in middle of Shvi. I think in Shlishi, he read that word wrong. So now what do? Do you go, or I'm being extreme in the example, but let's say the guy reads so quickly that, like, by the time your brain processes it, he's ready 5 psukim ahead. So do you have to go back to the to where he made the mistake and read straight, or do you only... So the Mishnah Berurah says, yeah, go back to where he made the mistake and read straight. He says, Shekren b'diktavayin bein kshu omer adayin b'pasuk zeh bein shekar gomer aparsha v'afilu birech l'achareh nami. Let's say during Sheni he made a mistake, and then the guy finished and he made the bracha after his aliyah, and then you realize in between aliyos, the rabbi comes over and he says, wait, did you read that word correctly? And the Balkari says, no, I don't think I did. Just no one corrected me, so I kept on going. So in that case, the next Ola makes a bracha, you start again from where he made that mistake, and you continue, it goes straight. However, it's interesting, the Sharatzim points out, and this is important, that that's really a chumma, that's not Meikar Adin. We do that because it would look weird to go back to that pasuk and then skip ahead another 10 pasukim. It would just feel strange. But it's really only a chumrah. Meikar Adin, that's what you would do. Meikar Adin, that's all you would need to do. Just go back, read that pasuk, and then you can go back to where you were up to before. So if you're in a situation of a shas of chag, it's important to know that there exists such a, that is the Ikar Adin, that's really the halacha. Now, when we say that the halacha, according to Rama, we're going to go with Ashkenazim now, that any mispronunciation that changes the meaning of the word, you have to correct. That's not just mispronunciation. A mistaken trap that changes the meaning, you'd also have to correct. There are whole svarim written on how trap affects the meaning of the words, how nasnachta splits the pasuk, and what each of the, there are divider traps and there are, you know, connector traps, and you have to, you know how, what, and depending on which is going on what, you know, the trap could make an impact. To make those sorts of corrections, though, you really need to understand trap. and you need to be able to process those things quickly. That's not such an easy thing to do. It's not such a pasha thing to do. In Tefillah Kilchasa, Perek Tzayin Haranun Gimel, he has a very fascinating psak from Rav Yashiv. If you look at source number 13, V'das Hagon Rav Yosef Shalom El Yashiv Shlita, you should have a refuah shleima, Shamispala Nusach Ashkenaz L'chadchila Lo Yishma Kriyas Torah Ba'avar Chasidit. He said, if you dav Nusach Ashkenaz, don't listen to a chassid lane. M'nei Shehem Omrim Hu Ki Hi. When they say who, they say he. He means she. Who's on first? V'gam ein shomim tamid b'meduyak es shem Hashem. And you also don't hear the shem Hashem all the time, clearly. Achein b'diyavad yotzim. But he says b'diyavad yotzim. But he says l'charchila, you should avoid hearing kriyas Torah from a chassid. That's pretty important. So if you're davening in a regular Ashkenazi shul, so kriyas Torah should not be laid by someone who has chassidic pronunciation. Now he writes, "V'chein shemati shamar maran agon Rav Yaakov Shol Kanievsky zatzal, the stipler." Shachter just told me some unbelievable stories about the stipler. Shabavarsha shamu gedol yom kriyas Torah bet medrash shel chassidim v'yatzu b'zeh. He said that no, but the stipler disagreed. He said that he remembers gedolei olam hearing kriyas Torah from chassidim, and they didn't have a problem with it because if that's the way they pronounce it, so that's fine. Now, what if I hear from someone who pronounces in havaras svardit? So then you're for sure Yotze. However, he says, and this is important, Chaznish was very machbid about this, a lot of times when people pronounce in Sfardit, when they say the Shem Hashem, so there's no chilik between a kamet and a patach. So when they say the Shem Hashem, it's not noi, it's nai, is the way they're going to pronounce it. And that's a mispronunciation of the Shem Hashem. And in fact, it might even change the meaning of the Shem Hashem. It might refer to multiple gods if it's a patach. So the Chaznish was very makbid that even in Israeli society, where for some reason they decided to teach all Ashkenazim to pronounce things with Havaras Svardit, which was obviously a mistake, Rav Kook was very against that. He did not want that to happen, but it happened. So they taught all the Ashkenazi kids to read with Svardit, but when they say the Shem Hashem, they should get used to saying Noi. When I was in Keren B'Yavne, the postik of the yeshiva was an Israeli guy, everything was Havaras Svardit except for the Shem Hashem. But he trained himself very well to always say the Shem Hashem with the kamatz, not with the patach. So it's a very important Indian because it's even in America a lot of times. You have in some of the schools where they, for some reason, they want to, you know, do what they're doing in Israel, I guess. So they try to train the kids to pronounce, you know, every kamatz like a patach, every saf like a taf. For some reason, those are the only ones they do. They don't do the resh and they don't do the, I don't know why they pick those two. So they get a nice mixture of different pronunciations, which is nobody's shita. It's really smart. And then the kids get all confused, and they never adjust, and they end up saying they end up mispronouncing the Shem Hashem. So I asked Rav Shechter, should we be makbid about that? I said, if there's a Baal Tefillah in the shul who says things with Havaras Svardit, should I go over to him and tell him, make sure you say the Shem Hashem differently? He said, yeah, absolutely, you should be makbid about that. So that's an important ha'ara. Now, couple of things. If there's a mistake in a pasuk that has the Shem Hashem, so that always causes the worst confusion. The guy already said Vayidaber Hashem Limoshe, and it's El Moshe or something. Right? So now, what do you do? Do you finish off the pasuk? Do you not finish off the pasuk? So Tzitz Eliezer writes in the Tshuva, he goes through the order of priorities of, or really what's required min adin and what's not required min adin. I'll just say it outside because we want to get to other things. Tzitz Eliezer says, Mikra adin, you just go back to where you made the mistake. Stop wherever you are. It doesn't matter that you said the Shem Hashem. Go back to where you made the mistake and continue reading from there. That's the Ikra adin. But out of Kvot Shemayim, we go back to the beginning of the Pasuk. And since Shem Hashem appears in the Pasuk, we want to read the whole Pasuk straight properly. And we even have a minhag out of extra kvot shemayim, just in case the mistake wasn't a real mistake, it's a minhag to be machmir to finish off the pasuk, even though you know it was a real mistake. But just in case it wasn't, you don't want the Shem Hashem to be levatala, so a minhag to finish off the pasuk. So you finish off the pasuk after having made the mistake, then we go back to the beginning of the pasuk, but that's all minhag. Meikra din, you would just go back, like any other mistake, you'd go back to where you made the mistake and continue from there. Again, important to know what's minhag, what's meikra din. Rav Shlomo Zalman in Halicha Shlomo writes that im kafal hateva v'yidezen nishtana hamashmaus, source number 16, if you said a word twice and that changed the whole meaning, still you don't have to go back. I'm not sure why. if you said it word twice, I guess he figures, what, then what will you have accomplished? Saying it three times? I don't know. That was a joke. Because if you go back and you say the whole pasuk again with that word only once, so it does correct it. So I'm not really sure what his svar is. It doesn't really explain it in the footnotes in Halicha Shlomo. The mistakes that we allow to go by and that we don't correct, according to certain poskim at least, the Eish Avram Mibachach, Avram David Mibachach, writes that if you miss a mapikei, Beis Isha Nidara. So it's Isha, not Isha. Isha means woman. Isha means her husband. Right? So really, the Mapikei changes the meaning of the word. So do you, if someone messes that up, the Eshel Avram Mibachach, again, I'm not sure why, says you don't have to correct that. Perhaps because so many people make that mistake that it's understood that we know what you really meant. You know, that it's... people who read L'chadchila sometimes read that way, never learned about Mapikei, because they went to a real yeshiva, you know, so they never learned about these things, or Shvanad. So these things, he says, people generally don't know the rules anyway, so you don't have to correct any of these things, even if it changes the meaning of the word. That's a huge kula. It's an Eshel Avrami B'chach. He is quoted in Halacha a lot. It's an important kula, because without it, you know, we'd be in trouble. Also, Rav Shlomo Zalman on Mila El Mila Raz, Rav Shlomo Zalman, if you look in source number 17, B'tevos Kamo, how do you read that next word? Source number 17, B'tevos Kamo, V'ahavta, V'ahavta, V'ahavta. So, Aval B'isha Mashmal S'mishtanis Imomer Mila El Mila Ra, Miloshon Asad Loshon Avar, it matters. Whether it's past tense or future tense, Mikol Makom, that's why you got to follow the trap in the sinner. Mikol Makom, Ein Tzarich L'Sakin Esakari Im Tavikach. It changes the meaning, but no one says it right. So, might as well, it's okay. Again, those I threw in there because Lo Matzini Yodein V'Ragleinu, we'd be in big trouble without them. Doesn't mean a Balkari shouldn't try to be Makbid. Of course, a Balkari should try to be Makbid, but we'd be in big trouble without those kulas, with the shvas that people don't know when to pronounce the shva, when not to, with the mapikeis and with the mila el mila ras. Now the Ramah had this comment that even when we're not machzirin or so, but goerin bo. So what does it mean goerin bo? What do you do to him? So Rav Sturmbach in his tshuvas and tshuvas vanagus chelik alef simkuf mem zayin says that if the guy hasn't continued reading yet, he's still on the original spot where he was, so you should correct him. But once he's moved on, you let it go. That's what it means, goerin bo. If you chap him right away, he just said the word, just get him up. So you get him right there, get him to say the word again. But once he's ready a couple of words later, let it go. Don't confuse him. That's how Rav Sturmbach understands goerin bo. I don't know how else you can understand goerin bo. Because what do you mean? Not let him lay next week?
Doesn't Mishnah Berurah say goerin bo means you go over him afterwards? And...
Oh, is that what Mishnah Berurah says? I don't know. I don't have it in my Mar Makamas, so that's bad. Okay. We have Mishnah Berurah on the shelf. I'll check afterwards. Okay, yeah, I don't know. Now, Mishnah Berurah goes through the responsibilities of the Baal Kari. So Mishnah Berurah says, important, Kasa B'chuvas Ma'aramintz, Hachazin Tzarech Lachzor Mitchilas HaSidra, Shetei Shigur B'fiv Kol HaDikdukim, V'mitkin Le'el U'milara Yimin U'smal, V'yikra B'mitun V'lo B'mehirus, V'ulai Yavli Yashomol Soteva. So he says, the Baal Kari has to go over the Parsha, he should know his Mila'el U'milaraz, he should read slowly enough that everyone can make out every word, that he shouldn't swallow any of the letters of the words. That's quoted by the Eli Rabba. On the flip side, the Shar Ephraim writes, good idea, you have to read carefully and, you know, not to be Mrapa, Chazak, Yichazak, Arafa, Yaniach, Anad, Yanit, Anach, etc. But he says, and also he says, not b'chatifa, not to rush. But he also says, "V'lo b'metinus harbe mishum torei chatzibur." You shouldn't lean too slowly either, because that's a big tirch of the tzibura. V'lo yeshmiya kolos gedolos shemevalbo b'zedas hashomim. I don't know what he's talking about, but he says, "Don't let out these loud sounds that will make people think you're strange." V'yesh k'tzas korim nakdanin shemedaktikim b'kriyasam harbe yosem me'atzoreh. He says there are some people that are so careful that the kriya comes out of their noses, I don't know what that means exactly either.
It's
but,
a great spring of course. I'm Me'apam
Oh, okay.
Slow.
Right, okay, good.
I'm sure you'd say Me'apchem, Me'alechem
Lazara. Right, okay, good. I didn't catch that. Ve'alazara, Ve'ne Amon. Yeah, okay. So he says, don't get to that point where everyone's going to think that it's so strange because you're being so extra medactic that you're so slow and it sounds weird. It should sound like you're reading Hebrew. It shouldn't sound like you're, you know, giving a Eucharistics class or something. It should sound like you're reading Hebrew. So he says, "Ein racham nochemehem." That's not a good idea either. So like everything else in life, balance. Now, what if nobody prepared? So just a couple of quick points here. Shulchan Aruch says you should still read with a bracha even if nobody prepared. The Shulchan Aruch says that you could have someone read to him, or Mishbur says have someone read to him from a chumash phrase by phrase, and that way he could be sure that he won't make a mistake. So Rav Moshe was asked, what about the Balkari himself? Can he take a chumash, hold it on the side, read there, and then read it in the Torah? Look in the chumash, then read it straight from the Torah. So Rav Moshe says, absolutely not. Two reasons. Number one, he says, he doesn't trust that you're actually going to end up reading all the words from the Torah. A lot of times you'll say the words before you actually see them in the Torah. And number two, he says, he's not sure even if you do read the words after seeing them in the Torah, that's called reading from the Torah. He said, if you saw the words in the chumash a second and a half ago, and now you're saying them because you saw them in the Chumash a second and a half ago, not because you're seeing them in the Torah now, you're remembering them from the Chumash, that could be called reading from the Chumash even as you're staring at the words in the Torah. It's a huge chiddush.
Wouldn't there be a hafsaka issue also? Meaning, like, even if it takes a second and a half, I mean...
Yeah, but,
guy,
you know,
guy, well,
given no other option, the guy reading to you is also a little bit of a...
Right, but the guy comes up to make a bracha and...
Yeah, but it's however long the kriya takes. The brachas are however long. But Rav Moshe, that's a huge chiddush Rav Moshe has. That's not called reading from the Torah when you remember seeing it in the chumash a few seconds ago. Rav Menashe Klein in Mishnah Halachos is very not excited about that, Rav Moshe. He disagrees with it at great length. One last thing, Poskim discussed, this is unbelievable. They came up with this thing. They made this like clear plastic, which had all the nekudos. Have you ever seen one?
No.
No, okay. Which has all the nekudos and the trup, and you put it over the Torah, and it's so easy to read. Because it just has the nekudos and the trup, the letters are in the Torah, it fits over perfectly, and you just read straight, and it has all the nekudos and the trup that you're reading from. So the postman discussed, is this the same shaila as reading through eyeglasses, because it's a chatzitza between the, where we paskim were making with that. So they said, no, that wouldn't be the problem. So what's the problem? Number one is, it's obviously a major... shift in our Masorah of the way we do things. That's really the problem that they have with it. The other problem is, it's probably impossible to make it in such a way where none of the Nekudos and none of the Trup are actually going to touch any of the letters of the Torah and actually cover parts of the letter of the Torah. So if you're not actually seeing the full letter of the Torah, that's a real problem. Then it could be a problem of not being Kari Mitel Chaksav. So all of the Poskim are very... and they said, the Mishabur gave us an Eitzah. It's a little annoying, but the Eitzah is have someone read to you phrase by phrase from the Chumash, and the better Eitzah is prepare. But if in the absence of that, they're not excited about this idea of having the trup there.
How's different if you're hearing it inside you versus looking in the Chumash inside? The Ramosha's chiluk is when you look in the Chumash, and then you look in the Torah, it's as if you're saying...
Right, but it could be, I was thinking about that also, it could be that the visual... That the memory works more on visual than it does on audio. So therefore, when your primary source of remembering it is that the words are right in front of you, you're just remembering the tune and the tone that it was said. You know, but when you see it, so you had the visual, maybe. I don't know. That's probably what Menashe Klein's kasha is.
There's a difference in reading in the Chumash. Because if you're going like this, you know what I mean? If someone's saying it to you, you're still following, because you're not following.
The other... Yeah, two balei kari. The other...
Yeah. When I teach kids, they know what they've heard on the recording.
Right.
No matter what they see inside. They're playing
that.
That's what I was
going to
say. Also,
right.
Sometimes you have like photographic remembrance of it, so you...
Right.
You're looking at the letters, you're really remembering what you
memorized.
The other horror, just last point, Rav Shurmach has on this thing, on this plastic, is he says, the halach is when you get an aliyah, we once had a share about that, when you get an aliyah, what's the procedure? So the halach is you're not supposed to look in the Torah when you're saying the brachos. Why? Lest somebody think that the brachos are written in the Torah. Well, if you get up to get an aliyah, and you actually see the trup and the nekudos in the Torah, So it's likely that you're going to think that the Nekudah Zot, that's a worse violation of lest somebody thinks something is written in the Torah that's not actually in the Torah. So that's his chap on that particular issue. Okay, that's it.